Okay, well, welcome. As you know, House Republicans are meeting today. I don't know if I just changed the setting on this. I bumped it, whoever's it is.
No, it looks good. It's okay.
Okay, yeah. House Republicans are meeting today, and this morning we've kind of done a little bit of a review of the last several months and some of the campaign conversation that took place with Iowans, and then House Republicans elected their leadership team. So. The selections they made, and we're only missing one today, so there's 59 people there if you're interested in that. I will be the Speaker of the House. Jeff Kaufman from Wilton will be the Speaker pro tem. Linda Uppmeyer from Garner. Majority Leader Eric Helen from Johnston will be the Majority Whip, and then the assistant leaders are Renee Schulte from Cedar Rapids, Matt Winchittle from, it's right here, say it.
Missouri Valley,
Steve Lucan from New Vienna, and Dave Dio from Nevada. So we'll be going back in after a break, and that's when we'll start working through the different policy discussions and putting together the plan for January. So unless you have something to add.
Yeah.
You want to do something right out of the box? I mean, it looks like you are going to have a Republican governor. It looks like you're going to have a slightly Democratic Senate. Do you want to do something like on day one, send a signal?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about that. I mean, typically the first couple days are primarily ceremonial. The one thing I can tell you, the one decision I have made, is we will have an appropriations committee, and House Republicans will be looking at the FY11 budget, because we believe if we don't address the FY11 budget, then it's going to make the FY12 budget that much harder to put together as we move through the session.
You say that for laymen, you know, what do you mean?
We're going to look for opportunities to reduce spending of the current year's budget. And we will be doing that on day one. Well, that's one of the things we're working through.
Do you know how much right now?
I don't have the dollar amount today.
Is there, I mean, is it large? Are people going to notice?
Oh, I think you're going to, oh, yeah. Well, I guess that's, I think it's several hundred million dollars. Are people going to notice? I don't know. I mean, I would say probably not, because I think there's several hundred million dollars in the current year's budget of marginal or no value to Iowans. That's what we believed for the last couple of years. That is exactly what House Republicans offered the amendments we did last year.
Anything leap off the page right off the top of your head?
You know, I think the leaping off point is probably the amendments we've offered over the last 2 years, but that's something we've got to work through time. I think that's what I'm saying. House Republicans will be looking at doing that on day one.
So you look at it on day one. How long will that take approximately?
I think we will move very quickly.
Within the first week or the first month?
It's not going to take a month.
And I'm sorry, what dollar figure were you aiming for?
Well, I think we're looking at several hundred million dollars. We will. We need to put it on paper and start adding the numbers up before I commit to an exact dollar amount.
It looks as though Democrats are going to retain the Senate, although by a narrow margin. Have you had any
I wanted to get past the caucus today, and then obviously the leaders of both parties, to include Senator Gronstall, are on my list to call.
So what is the signal you're sending Iowans by cutting several hundred million as your top priority?
That House Republicans think that the current administration and the previous majority party spent too much money. I mean, that's...
Back to your previous announcement, did anyone in the caucus challenge yourself or Representative Uppmeyer for your positions today?
The decision ended up being a unanimous decision.
Do you have one thing you know for sure that you want to cut in the budget?
Well, one thing we've already talked about is the power fund. House Republicans asked over a year ago, how many jobs has the power fund created, and we're still waiting for an answer.
Are you disappointed that the current governor declined your request to freeze?
Yes. Spending? Yeah, that was disappointing. I don't know why we wouldn't want to look at discretionary expenses and use it as an opportunity to reduce spending on behalf of the taxpayers of Iowa.
Did you take that as a signal at all that you're going to meet resistance from the other party on trying to roll back spending?
I took it as a signal that Governor Culver wanted to continue to spend money at the same rate.
So based on what you're saying, should people take, obviously during the campaign there was all the talk about we got to find jobs, what's the best way to get people working again? Does
Well, I think you'll see us turn immediately that first week also and start putting the agenda together and bringing Iowans, business owners, employers into the Capitol and talk to them about what can we do, what is the state right now, where are we getting in your way with regard to job creation. We need to get the entrepreneurs, and in particular the entrepreneurs and small business owners across the state of Iowa, fired up and ready to reinvest in our workforce.
Do you expect a resolution on the constitutional marriage issue to start moving the first week?
I expect us to handle that resolution sooner rather than later. What exactly that means is something we have to talk about.
Well, I know when they did the ERA, the first day of session, that came out of committee. Are you on that same fast track?
Say that again, Rod.
When they passed the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, when the legislature gaveled in the first day, a committee kicked that resolution out to get that process going.
My expectation is we will deal with that sooner rather than later, and when it gets debated, will be up to Leader Utmeyer.
You work with agency heads in your role. So, as Governor Branstad comes in, and granted it's his role, but are there any that you would say, him, this one's got to go, this one has done a good job, you can work on, you know, or do you feel any compunction to make recommendations?
The agency heads, I mean, that's, we don't have a formal role in that, and at this point, I have not had any discussions with them. I mean, I think I've been fairly public that Dean Lerner has been a detriment to the state of Iowa.
Question about my, I know you, sitting on admin and rules, deal with the agencies maybe even more than Mr. Paulson. Have you had any there where you're like, okay, they're doing a good job here, but they're really not here?
If Governor Branstad asked that question, I'll be happy to give him my opinions and on the places that I've noticed that there have been positive or negative input.
Can you talk to us today about your selection and what that was like and how you feel about that? I mean,
well,
the staff saying first female leader of the House.
Sure. Well, that's certainly a humbling experience to be the first woman that's been able to hold that position. While I certainly believe it's time, I always believe that the correct person should be in the positions that the caucus elects them to. So I hope they did that because they believe I'm the right person and not just so we have the first woman. And I think they did.
What advice has your mother given you?
She checked my jacket before I left home. She made sure I looked okay. But I, you know, I think back a lot to advice my dad gave me because we've talked about, you know, we've had these conversations perhaps more. And The thing that I always remember the most is sometimes when I'd complain that, gal, I didn't feel very lucky, I didn't win this or that, my dad always told me the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I absolutely believe that's true, and I think we demonstrate that every day.
Did you talk to him about being a leader one day?
You know, my father passed away right during my first term, so we never really did a talk about any future I might have and what my goals would be, but he was very excited to have me run for the legislature. He was always kind of curious that I would leave a good job to do that, but he was excited that I did.
So if you could call him and talk to him, what would he think about you getting elected?
Well, I hope he'd be really excited for me. And I think he would. You know, he held this position as well as speaker, and he wouldn't have done that if he didn't think it was a meaningful and important contribution to make. So I think that's the way he'd see it.
You're a leader in healthcare policy. Are we to expect any healthcare bills this session, or what are you thinking on healthcare?
Well, that'll be up to the committee chair and the committee, and I think there will probably be some, and I'm happy to help out where anybody might need it for input about some of the work that the commission's done and some of the things that I've been doing in the past. I'll make sure they're up to speed and ready to deal with those issues.
What kind of a leader will you be? I mean, I remember your dad was kind of a screamer.
Well, I know this. I will use more words than Speaker Paulson will use. That's just who we are. And I do get quite passionate about issues sometimes, and have, I think in the past, spoken fairly firmly on the floor about some things. So from time to time that may happen. But you know, as we get, as we mature, we learn to maybe cushion our words a little more carefully.
So who is the wordsmith among this group? The policy, the person who sort of comes up with the communication strategy?
Well, I think it's the entire leadership team
and
who's ever there. I mean, there's no question that I think both of us believe that rather than us just dictating things, it's our job to make sure we listen to the caucus and then they get that framed up in a fashion that we can communicate to Iowans.
Linda, can you talk about some of your personal priorities? Maybe the caucus hasn't decided on all of their priorities yet, but can you talk about some of yours?
Well, you know, honestly, I will be talking to the caucus about those. And, you know, after being here a while, some of the things that I've been really wanting to get done, and I hope we can get done this year, have to do with the Rules Committee. You know, so those are some of the personal things that I feel sort of left unfinished. Many of the healthcare things we have moved forward on. We will do more with that. But we really want to represent the caucus. We really want the caucus to feel like they've had their issues addressed, and we'll bring those forward first and foremost.
22 new members?
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a big learning curve there with that many new members?
For us or them?
Yeah.
Yes, is the answer to that question. Yeah. I mean, that's a third of the caucus. And so while we've interacted with all of them through the campaign season, now it kind of goes to a different level. No, we're past name tags. We actually can recognize by sight.
What is your leadership style?
My leadership style? Oh, I never put a whole lot of thought into describing it. I don't know. I think I listen. I think my job is to put talented people in the right positions, give them some goals, and turn them loose, and see where it takes us.
How early do you think redistricting
The statute dictates that, and I've read it, and I can't remember the dates. I mean, I have to go back and look again. I think it's unquestioning that what you're going to see is a caucus that follows through on our campaign promises. We're very concerned about spending. We believe the taxpayer has not had a seat at the table for 4 years, and we're gonna put the taxpayer back there, and we want an environment that encourages employers to invest in the state. I mean, those are the things we said. So those are the high-reaching goals, and now we're going to start working on ways to translate that down into individual pieces of legislation.
Now that you've flipped the House here, so you're going from having very little say to having a lot of say, what is that whole experience like, and what do you look forward to in that sense?
Well, while these are new positions for us, I think four of us have served in the majority, so we've been through that experience. We understand that we now control the agenda, and I guess we're going to put together an agenda that reflects Iowa's values and what we think the electorate told us last Tuesday.
Given all the new members, you're not going to be aiming for a shortened session like we had last year.
That would be one of the things on my conversation with Senator Gronstall to see what he has in mind. I'm not so sure that less than 110 days isn't a good idea. Oh, I, you know, until we sit down and we talk about joint rules, but I am amenable to shortening up the session.
Have you had a sit down with Governor Bramstead yet to talk about his priorities?
Since the election, we've talked on the phone. Preceding the election, we had several different sit downs, and my anticipation is we'll do that very soon. I have sat down with some of his folks, and like I say, we've talked on the phone, but...
Has he mentioned anything yet about certain things you really would like to see come out of here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you say what that would be?
No. I will let the governor speak for himself.
Nationally, a lot of the states have flip-flopped. Does that kind of encourage you that this is not just a state mandate, but a national mandate that's given to you guys?
I think there's no question that at both the state and the national level, and I will tell you that I believe Iowa and what took place here is reflective of the national environment. It was too much government, too fast, too much spending, too much debt, and people want to go back to work. And so that's part of what I take out of the election.
So my property taxes lower next year?
I will tell you, this caucus is extremely committed to undoing the property tax increases of the previous 2 years.
Outside of some of the tax policy changes Governor Branstad has outlined, what specifically do you think you can do to generate job creation?
Well, I think the leaping off point on that is bringing in employers and finding out what would make a difference for them and where we're getting in their way. I'm not ready to start rolling out bills today, but I do think that's the proper discussion.
One of the things that's come up, governors in other states that won election, Republicans have indicated in the Midwest that they don't want to move forward on the passenger rail initiative. What's your thoughts on Iowa's role in passenger rail? Do you want to continue funding that expansion, or should that stop?
At this point, I've got a very superficial understanding of what just transpired in the last 2 weeks. That's one of the things that we have to research. I don't know if you have anything to add, but I guess we'll take a look at it, but I'm sure not in a position to commit to supporting it today.
How would you describe your working relationship with the Democrats that's going to be going into this new session with the new balance here?
Well, my understanding is they're caucusing next week, and they'll elect a leader. And then I'll sit down with whoever that is, and there are some things we're going to do, and we're going to do them, and if they want to plug in and help out, that's great, and if they don't, that's fine. But there's a whole, 75% of the legislation is legislation we're going to be in a position to work on together, and that's my expectation, and that's what I think you'll see out of the committee chairs and the subcommittee chairs.
How do you think this divided government's going to work? Do you think you're going to be able to get done with a lot of the things you want to get done, or is this going to be a hybrid year and you have no idea how it's going to end up?
I don't think anybody knows how it's going to end up just yet. But look, we're going to come in, we're going to address ideas and legislation that we think moves Iowa forward, and we're going to have conversations with the Senate about that. My expectation is we'll be successful in some things and not in others. And then as Governor Branstad weighs in, he'll influence that too. I mean, this isn't a situation that the state of Iowa's never been in before.
You've been through a few caucus cycles. Would you foresee that as presidential candidates begin declaring perhaps in February, maybe even sooner, would that become a distraction in the session or not?
Oh, I think the caucus season is marvelous, and I don't know if it. I don't think it's a distraction, but I think it's fantastic for Iowa, and it interjects a lot of energy. Anyone else? For anyone?
Do you know who will be in charge of redistricting if you decided who's going to head up that committee?
I will make committee chair assignments next week. I will finalize those and we'll start. I don't know that I'll get all committees done next week, but I will start making those and they'll start coming out next week.
Back to the Branstad question, of other things he's mentioned so far, are you thinking those are good ideas?
I'm thinking that there's a whole lot of stuff, the majority, if not all, I mean, we've got to start seeing it in detail, are going to be things that we want to work on together and move forward. I don't think there's anything I've said that to him on at this point. Anything?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.